Well, good morning.
Good morning, brother.
It's wonderful to be here with you today and be able to share what God has put on my heart. I always love doing this. So I want to share a story, but before I do, I want you to think back and remember to a time that you received an invitation to something you were excited about. Okay, so think back. At some time in your life, it could have been in your childhood, maybe even the first time, but a time that you were invited to something you were excited to go to. So last year, my youngest daughter, Amelia, she's five now, but she started preschool last year. So while she was in preschool, she received an invitation to a birthday party, which for her was a massive deal because she has a sister that's 2 years older than her named Chloe. And Chloe started school earlier, obviously, so she had been invited to different parties, different events, and things like that, and she would come home with goodie bags and stories about the great time she had and all the activities they did, and Amelia got left out of that because she wasn't invited. So she received her very first invitation to a party that was outside of our family, and she just lights right up. She's so excited about it. She hangs the invitation on the fridge. Whenever a mealtime came around, she'd grab it off the fridge, set it on the table beside her. She's going to bed with this invitation on her pillow. She's just so excited she was included in something she wanted to do. And she had a wonderful time at the party. It was great. But I was thinking about this in relation to our relationship with God. And it's so amazing that God expressed an invitation to us. You know, he invited us into his family, which how amazing is that? To be a part of walking with him, to be in a relationship with him. The creator of the universe noticed you and stretched an invitation to say, hey, I choose you. And he loves you that much that he says, you matter enough to me. Then there's something so special about that. And for us to get excited about the invitations we receive from God. But not only did he invite us into his family, he also invites us into his plans, his purposes, the direction, the divine destiny that he has for each and every one of our lives. And he's constantly giving us invitations to accept, to be a part of what he's going to do in our lives. And today, we're going to dive into a story in the Bible that talks about a person that received an invitation from God. Now, I want to caution you before we jump into it even though, don't think of this as just a historical figure in the Bible, even though it is a historical figure in the Bible. But this is something that God wants to invite you into things just as he did this person today. He wants to make you part of his plans. He wants to invite you to partner with him to receive the great gifts and the great things that he has for you as you say yes to him. So even as I'm preaching today, ask yourself that question, is God, what are you inviting me into today? And we're going to talk more about that as we go. So my very first point today, and then we'll jump to some of the verses after I make that first point, is to receive what God has for us, we must accept his invitation. When Amelia received that invitation, it was great she had the invitation, but she didn't get to experience the actual event until she said, yes, I want to go to this, or I'm going to go to this, and then attend and do the work to get there, right? So we must accept the invitation. So being that we're entering into the Christmas season here, it's very fitting. We're going to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she received a pretty extreme invitation from God. So let's talk about that right here. It starts at Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there. It'll also be up on the screens. And it says this, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. We're going to pause right there for a second. I find it so cool to see that the very first thing the angel says about Mary, or to Mary even, is an identity statement. And God does the same with us too. He explains and he says to her, you who are highly favored by God, God sees you. He knows you. He sees where you're at and what you're doing. And maybe you don't feel very valuable to God. Maybe you don't feel very noticed in his eyes. But he sees you and he says, I choose you. You are highly favored. You are valuable to me. And I've got a plan and a purpose for your life that you can walk in if you'll say yes to my invitation. So I love that he starts with this statement here. And very interesting that Mary was greatly troubled at his words. You know, and I'm sure many of you, when God shows up and says, hey, my child, my loved one, the one that I have plans and purposes for, you might feel the same way. You're like, Are you talking to me, or is there somebody around me? Like, who are you talking to? But God sees you as that. So jumping to Luke 1, verse 30, it says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" All right. We're going to pause there again. There's still more to read, but right now, this is a big, heavy calling that God gives to Mary, right? But Mary, and we'll read this in a second in her response, is a little confused at how this is all going to happen. Because she says, "I'm a virgin." The passage tells us that right in the start. Like, okay, so is this after I get married? We're going to conceive a kid, and then, you know, I'm to name him Jesus. How is this to happen? Because I'm a little confused about this. So she asks that question. It's right in verse 34. It says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Now, in Christianity, there's often some stigma, I'll say. There's some issues that it's wrong or bad to ask questions. It's wrong or bad to try to do it. And I want to challenge that today. I want to say that's actually not bad to ask God questions, as long as your heart is correct in it. If it's questions to challenge God, that's the wrong heart. But Mary here is questioning to understand. And that's something that requires humility from us. It's something if we come to God and we say, "God, I want to understand this, but I don't get it. Can you help me understand it?" God is happy to explain that to us. He's happy to walk with you through that. Just as the angel Gabriel, there's no rebuke of Mary for asking a question, but he explains it. And for the sake of time today, I'm not going to read through it all, but you can read it on your own. It's those next few verses. But basically, he explains that, okay, this is not going to be a natural birth. This is going to be something supernatural that God is going to bring about in your life. To which Mary responds in verse 38. We'll jump to that real quick. Verse 38, it says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So she hears this crazy story from the angel that you're going to conceive a baby, you're going to remain a virgin, but somehow be pregnant. And this is what I'm calling you to. God's going to do it. It's not going to be natural. It's not going to be normal, but God's going to do a miracle here. And she says, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm your servant. I want to do it your way." And this is an impressive statement from Mary. And this is something God's inviting us into, and it's something that's required for us to receive the gifts, the callings, the purpose that he has destined for us, is to come to him willing to say, "Let it be to me as you say, God. Your plan, not my plan." Because she had a plan. She was betrothed to be married, and this is quite interruptive. Like, okay, I'm going to have a baby, and now I'm going to tell my husband-to-be that I'm pregnant, but I didn't mess around. I didn't do anything wrong. Like, this seems like it's a very unlikely story, right? But when God calls, we have to answer yes to him if we want to receive the great things he has for us. And it's not promised to be easy. But if we say yes and we walk in it, we'll receive the promises that he has, which is always for our best interest in the end. And we're going to talk about this. Now, there's a verse in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5, that says this: "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father,' so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." This is powerful. Now, you hear the word son there. It's very male-centric. That son really is talking about a position of inheritance. It's really what that's speaking of. It's the firstborn, the person in the Old Testament and up to Jesus' time. What was a common cultural practice was the firstborn received the inheritance. And it was the firstborn son, the firstborn male, received the inheritance that God had for him. Now, for us as New Testament believers, this is something that applies to all of us. If you are an individual that says yes to Jesus, you qualify as an heir, as a firstborn, as one that is set to receive an inheritance from the Lord Jesus himself. And this is a powerful demonstration of this, that God invites us into his family. Now, I don't know everybody here. So I want to kind of deviate from the main message here just for a minute to give an opportunity, because this is so important to us here at Reach Out. This is something we, is an anchor to our beliefs, is we want to give an opportunity for people to be brought into the family of God. And we do this just about every week we gather together. That if you're here and you haven't said yes to Jesus yet, you've heard this invitation that Jesus' desire is that all would turn to him and be saved. None would perish, but all would come to everlasting life. And all that's required for that is found in Romans 10:9, where it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this is an invitation. You're invited to be adopted into the family of God today. And if you're here today and you're saying, I've never done that, I really want to do that, I invite you, just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up to the front. We just want to pray together. So if you're here and you've never done that yet and you would like to today, just raise your hand up so I can see it, and we'll pause, we'll pray together. As I said, I'm not going to call you up or anything. All right, that's okay. Well, you know, I believe, and if you're watching online, this is something you can do. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And you can do this just by a simple prayer of saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart. I want to surrender my life to you, and I repent from my way of living. And Jesus will change your life. And this is something powerful that we can all walk in together. So if you haven't done that, that's a simple way you can do that. Now, we're invited into the family, which is amazing. But then God also wants to invite us into specific purposes, as he did Mary. He invites us to journey with him through life, that we are all called to be carriers of the presence of God, just as Mary carried Jesus in her womb. And we're not going to read it today, but there's a passage that talks about when Mary went and visited her cousin Elizabeth that was mentioned right in the first verse we read today, that she had a baby in her womb too that was 6 months old. And when Mary went into her presence, the baby within her leapt for joy just being close to Jesus, just recognized his presence. And we are called to be carriers of the presence of God, just as Mary did. That wherever we go, whether it's our workplace, our families, the situations we go into, we carry Jesus with us. And we're able to demonstrate his goodness, his faithfulness, and the changes that he's made in us to a hurting world that's in need of seeing it. And we have this power with us every day. This is something I think many of us as Christians, myself included, we take for granted. We don't give it the attention that it deserves, that everywhere we go, every store we go into, every situation we find ourselves in, we have the opportunity to say yes to God's invitation to be included in that and be carriers of his presence, which is a powerful, powerful thing. It changes things. Sometimes even without saying a word, it changes things, just having God's presence with you. So, but we got to say yes to his invitation to be included in that. We got to put aside our agendas and say yes to him. Which leads me into our next point here, which is this: to receive what God has for us, we must surrender to him. And this is exactly what Mary demonstrated here. She said, I am the Lord's servant, let it be to me as you say. I surrender my plan, I have an agenda, I have a plan, but I'm going to put it on the shelf and say, I want to do it your way. Now, I've got a story that recently happened to me that illustrates this in a clearer way than I've ever seen before. And God was showing me this, but I took my two girls for a walk a while back, and then after the walk, we went to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription. And it was supposed to be ready ahead of time, but we go into the pharmacy, go up to the counter, and say, oh yeah, we'll have it for you in just a minute. And I told the girls before we went in, I said, girls, I need you right by me, we're just grabbing this real quick, and then we'll go back to the car. And have you ever, as a parent, felt like the stores are setting you up for failure? You walk in and everything shiny's on the end. They've got balloons of their favorite characters down every aisle now to try to draw their attention in. You know, there's all the flashy stuff, the candies, the sweets, everything that they could ever want is right, and it's all at their level. They don't set it high anymore. It's all at their eye level, and they're within their reach. So we walk through, and my girls, they're usually very good. They listen to me well, and today they did it great too. That day we walk in, we get up to the counter, they're standing by me, but for some reason, the pharmacy was taking forever with this prescription, probably 15, 20 minutes. So I'm standing there, and my girls naturally, as they're young kids, are getting impatient, right? So they're getting fussy, and then my youngest, Amelia, starts meandering down a certain aisle. I'll be like, Amelia, come on back, and so she'll come back, and then she gets antsy again and starts going a little further down the aisle, and then eventually she gets to the end of the aisle. And I say, Amelia, come on back, as I've been doing like three or four times now, and she scoots around the corner. just out of my sight and said, like, looks at me, gives me that little, you know, mischievous look, and then scoots around the corner. And then Chloe, my oldest daughter, who is naturally wants to help and everything, says, don't worry, Dad, I'll get her. And so she starts running after her. Now it becomes a game, right? You know, so they're running down the aisles. Stuff's falling off the shelves. I'm like, guys, you know, I'm trying not to be like a crazy yelling dad, but putting stuff back on the shelves and like not make it a game, but chase after them and, you know, saying, guys, come back over here. You know, I know it's taking a while. We just got to wait. Let's be patient. Let's be calm. And it's becoming this scene. I'm starting to get looked at by everybody. I'm feeling embarrassed. All of the emotions are starting to bubble over. So then, yeah, right? That's the pastor's kid. Yeah. So then, finally we get my prescription. I pick up my youngest daughter, I wrangle them, and my older daughter's walking beside me, so I get her, and right when we get to the door, she sees something, so she's at my shoulder here, and all of a sudden, half her body is hanging past my shoulder, and she's reaching out with her arms, saying, I want one of those stuffies, please. I'm like, at least you sense, please, you know, it's the little victories here and stuff, but I'm like, no, we're not going to do it today, you know, let's just go to the car. And then all of a sudden, she starts screaming at the top of her lungs, right in my ear, screaming like a crazy person, like I'm abducting her or something like that. So I'm walking her out to the car, and this was the very first day she had graduated from a car seat to a booster seat, okay? So I put her in the car, buckle her seatbelt. She's still screaming her guts out. I go around to try to help my other daughter get into the car. And as I get there, I notice my younger daughter's door is wide open. And she wrangled out of her seatbelt. She started, and so I'm in panic mode now. I yelled to Chloe, I'm like, stay here. And then I start running around the car. She's already like down the road. And this is a busy parking lot. Cars are going all over. And she's small. She's hard to see. So I start booking it to try to catch her. So I finally catch up to her. I get to her right as she's like just across the actual intersection. I was so thankful she didn't actually get hit. It was crazy. And so I scoop her up and I'm feeling all of the sense of panic and relief and all these emotions, anger, everything that you could be feeling in this moment, I'm feeling. But I am just so relieved that I got her safely and everything. So I pick her up. She's still screaming her guts out for this toy. I put her back in the car. I put the child safety lock on the door. You know, I should have thought of that before, but you know, finally did that. Close the door. Get everybody home, get everybody calmed down, and we sit down with her and we explain how, listen, this is extremely dangerous what you did today. You could have died. This could have been a big deal, you know, and so we explain it to her. She's repentant. She's got the tears of, you know, she's sorry. She says it. She gives us a big hug after, says, I won't do it again, you know, and she hasn't since, which is great. But that night, I'm sitting in my living room, and I'm praying about it. I'm like, God, please help her just understand how serious this is and what she needs to do. And then God spoke to me, and he said, John, you do the same thing. And I was thinking about it and how often I get blinded by my desires, just like Amelia did, right? The thing that she wanted so bad that she was blinded to the danger she was putting herself in, blinded to it, and rejecting the Father's will, what I was telling her to do and saying, listen, this is for your safety, just stay here. But because she was so blinded by her desires of what she wanted, she put herself in a compromising situation. She went after the wrong thing and was chasing after the wrong thing. And there's times in my life I've done the same thing, and I would venture to guess there's times in your life you've done it too. Where God's telling you, hey, forgive those that have hurt you. You're saying, God, it hurts too much. I want to hold on to this grudge. He says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. And you're saying, yeah, I pray that they get punished for it. You know, and we think all of these things and we get bitter and we take on the wrong way of approaching it where God's given us instructions how to live. I don't think it's any accident. The last, 8 weeks we did our last series of the Sermon on the Mount, which is clear instructions for how to live our lives, how to live God's way instead of our way. If you missed any of those, go back and check them out because they're worth listening to because it gives you a pathway. If you're not sure where to start with this, that's a great place to start. Matthew 5 through 7. Read those passages and how you can live those ways. Apply it to your lives. And then you can continue to surrender to God your will for his will. Because there's times in my life, times in your life, and I'll be real vulnerable and honest with you here for a second. The thing lately God's been talking to me about has truthfully been my attitude. Right? You know, like we say we're doing the right thing maybe, but our attitude just stinks. We're saying yes to God, but we're grumbling about it. We're complaining about it, you know. And then, of course, the people closest to us suffer for that, too, because they get the projection of those bad attitudes. So now we're miserable to our kids, our wife, our spouse, you know, whatever it is. And our attitude's just bad. And God's saying, hey, surrender your attitude to me. That's what he's been speaking to me. Surrender your attitude to me. Say yes to me so that I can bring a better thing for you. Because at the end of the day, what's the value of that anyways, right? Get a bad attitude so we give somebody a piece of our mind and then we feel worse about it afterwards too, right? That's usually how it goes. If we'll just surrender it. And I know that's easier said than done. I'm walking through it too. I get it. But if we say yes to him, he's got a better way for us, just as he did for Mary. And he's called us to say yes to him, to surrender our will to his will. So let's find ways to do that in our walk and in our life and all that we do. In Romans 8, there's a passage that talks about this starting at verse 6. It says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, this is huge. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. You guys belong to Christ. You've been adopted into the family of Christ. You're not a victim of your flesh any longer. In that illustration I shared about my daughter, another thing it revealed to me was the heart of God. When I was chasing after her to try to help her, to keep her safe, to guard after her, that's the very heart of God that is pursuing you, saying, I have a better way, just listen to my way. And he wants to scoop you up in his arms, he wants to hold you, but he's never going to violate your free will. You have to choose to turn and go to him. And as you do, as you submit and surrender to his ways, you're going to be surrounded by his love. His arms will hold you. He'll carry you. He'll bring you into his peace. But you got to live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And this is a battle, but let's surrender our flesh. Let's surrender our flesh. All right. My third and final point for today is this. To receive what God has for us, we must patiently endure. To which there's a groan in the congregation, right? You know, because patiently endure. You're telling me I got to patiently endure these hardships I'm going through? Yeah, just ask Mary. Once she said yes to God, once she submitted her will to him, now she had to carry a baby for 9 months. And I've never carried a baby, but I hear it's painful. I hear it's uncomfortable. I hear it's very inconvenient. Yet there's a joy at the end of it, right? And any mother will tell you that. Yeah, it was worth it for the baby I got, but it wasn't pleasant in the moment. It wasn't pleasant as I was carrying them for those 9 months. And Mary especially, right? Right at the end of her pregnancy, God sends her on a donkey ride hundreds of miles away, a bumpy ride over dirt roads and everything, right? You know, which probably induced her labor, which now she had to do it in a stable, have this baby in a stable. I'm sure she was asking, God, are you sure this is your plan? Inconvenient. Not pleasant in the moment. But God was doing something that was bigger than her, just as he wants to do in your life too. The callings, the purposes, the plans that God has for us are bigger than us. It's for others to be blessed and drawn to God. And as we say yes to him, you'll find no greater joy in your life than helping others experience the fullness of what God has for them. I remember back when I first received the call of God to be a pastor. I was praying and asking him what I had to do to become an actor. That was my heart's desire. That's what I wanted to do more than anything else. I'm saying, God, show me who I need to write a letter to, who I need to talk to, what connections need to be made. And God spoke to me very clearly and said, John, I don't want you to be an actor. I want you to be a pastor. To which my first response was, God, why does everybody else get to do what they want to do and not me? Such a baby, right? You know, we whine. I'm confessing my attitude's not always good, right? So my attitude wasn't good in that moment. But then after a few minutes of venting to him and stuff, which I don't think he was mad about, but he understood. And so I got past that, and I said, you know what, though? I see in your word that anytime anybody surrenders to your will, it works out better for him in the end. Anytime, and I know in my life up to this point, anytime you've asked me to do something, I've done it, it's been better in the end. So I'm going to trust you more than I trust my own desires. I'm going to surrender this to you. I'm going to say yes. And so it changed my life. It changed the direction, how I was setting myself up, different things I was doing. And I can tell you, it took 15 years from that calling before I got any official title of pastor. There were times there were more lucrative career paths to choose. There were less stressful opportunities available to me. There were some other things that were enticing or appealing in the moment. But as I patiently endured, now that I'm doing this here and now, this is one of the great joys of my life. I love being able to share what God has poured into me, and I'm so much more content and happy than I would have been pursuing anything else that would have been just me. Because God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the path he's calling you, and I don't say this story to say, look at me, or I'm great, or anything like that. But as we continue to surrender to him, in the end, it's always better if you'll walk the path he has for you. It's not all roses and rainbows. It's not all joy and pleasantries. There's some suffering in it. There's some sacrifice. There's some donkey rides hundreds of miles. There's some giving birth in the stable. There's some unpleasantness to the journey. But it's bigger than us in the end, just as Mary would testify to us today. Now, I believe this message has three main parts to it, and I talked about the three points, so it's accept the invitation, it's surrender to his will, and it's patiently endure through the promise that he's given you. I'm convinced, and I could be wrong, but I'm convinced that this message has something for everybody in it. And not every message does, but today I really do believe that you here, and myself included, are somewhere on one of those three points. And that God wants to help you with that. Whether you're patiently enduring, whether you're saying, hey, I'm on the edge of this, I've been doing this for a bunch of years, and I feel like I'm ready to give up because this is it. I haven't seen it come to pass yet. And God's saying, hey, patiently endure. The promise is being fulfilled. And look at my faithfulness through the journey. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I'm struggling to surrender. My flesh is screaming at me. I'm struggling to accomplish this idea of surrender. I want to keep doing my way. I keep falling into sin. I keep doing this. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and living in you. He's the same Spirit that helped Jesus overcome every temptation he faced, which is every temptation we face too. And he overcame. And God has empowered you to overcome every temptation if you'll surrender to him. And that's the biggest battle, is that battle of our mind where we convince ourselves that our way's better. We want it so bad, we're going to do it. We become that screaming toddler, like my daughter was, that we're blinded by our desires. And God's saying, grow up, grow to maturity. Trust me. Trust that me as your father knows a little better than you do today, right now. Because he does. And then maybe you're here and you're saying, I'm just receiving an invitation. I'm just understanding what God's calling me into, the lifestyle he's calling me to. And if you're here and you're saying, I don't know if I've ever received that, start even with the Great Commission. Carry the presence of Jesus with you everywhere you go. That you are to be a light in this world. That's a great place to start. And God will give you more specific callings, more specific purposes and plans as you continue to do the broad ones that he's already given you through his word. To grow in your character, to develop, to be the person God's called you to be. At this moment, I want to invite you to stand to your feet, if you're able to. And every time I preach, I ask that you would say these words, and just before we pray, I'll give you the opportunity to do it. And it's, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me through this message? So as we transition to a time of prayer, I believe, like I mentioned, we're all in one of these three spots. And the Holy Spirit wants to pinpoint it for you. He wants to put his finger on it so you can identify it, so you know what to do next, what that next step is for you. So I want to pray over you. As I do this, I want to invite you to say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me through this message? So let's pray together right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for all these individuals here and for all you're doing in our lives, that you invite us to be part of your plan is so amazing, that you want to partner with us, that you value us that highly. So we want to say yes to you today, Lord. We want to surrender our will to you, and we want to patiently endure all the difficulties that come with that, Lord. So right now, I ask through your Holy Spirit that you would reveal to each and every person here what it is you are calling them to do, that they would be able to identify the next step, that they'll be able to identify the problem area, the blockage, whatever it is that's preventing them from moving forward in your will. that we could all say yes to accept your invitation, that we would all surrender our will, that we would all patiently endure your promises. So bless your people. Continue to encourage them, help them to grow closer to you this week as we walk in the fullness of what you have for us. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. If you have any prayer requests, I invite you, feel free to come forward. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you guys.